will join us lead chairing another meeting which lasted, is lasting a little longer than foreseen. So we proceed now with the reading of the address by Honorable Mariam, then Honorable Fatma, and then Honorable Joanna Lima. And meanwhile, we hope that the Mr. Speaker of Portugal will join us. After the statement by His Excellency the Speaker, we will resume the last session and the debate. I already have in the list Algeria, Croatia, Morocco, and Greece. Then if others want to take the floor, I will take note. Said so, I have now the pleasure to give the floor to our dear colleague from the Emirates, Honorable Mariam. Please.
Thank you. Good morning. Excellencies, dear colleagues, as parliamentarians, representatives of the people, it is our duty to protect women in our region from any violence or discriminatory acts by conducting our legislative work, ensuring the proper implementation of these provisions and raising public awareness. Taking into consideration the current and recent events, it is clear that women's rights and freedoms are affected, as evident in Ukraine, Afghanistan, and other wars where women are subjected to discrimination, sexual assault, and human rights deprivation. This instability derives from the lack of a solid basis regarding laws that protect women, and most importantly, the lack of a proper mechanism to abide by this law. The outbreak of COVID-19, climate change, armed conflicts, and other challenges have significantly threatened women and girls in the past few years. However, with the help of civil society and national entities, we are ready to fight and do our utmost to overcome these challenges. The Women Parliamentary Forum is necessarily a tool to achieve cooperation and coordination to protect women and prevent future atrocities and violations. Parliamentary efforts in the Gulf region led to crucial reforms regarding women's rights and freedoms by introducing new laws and amendments to our societies in the sense of preventing gender discrimination, protecting from domestic violence, criminalizing sexual harassment, and others. The United Arab Emirates became one of the 25 leading countries in the world regarding gender balance in decision-making positions and one of the most progressive Arab countries in female political participation. In 2019, the United Arab Emirates became the first Arab country to appoint a woman as a Speaker of the Parliament. Also, the UAE currently have the highest female labor force participation rate in the region. In 2019 and 2020, UAE authorities introduced many amendments to the personal status law, including revoking a provision that had obliged women to obey their husbands. In March 2020, a new domestic violence law came into effect, including provisions enabling women to obtain restraining orders against abusers. We welcome these changes by law, but these new provisions will need a close follow-up of their implementation mechanism. Therefore, to protect women, we must provide them with a safe atmosphere where they can trust the judiciary system by holding perpetrators accountable and preventing impunity on a national and international basis. Now we are entrusted with the critical mission as a Vice President-designate of the Women Parliamentary Forum. I wish to use parliamentary diplomacy to its fullest and bring about some positive changes in our region. The forum is a significant opportunity to cooperate and increase our efforts in order to obtain concrete results in terms of women's human rights and freedoms protection, reinforcing women's status and overcoming political and social norms. Overcoming political and social norms are fundamental requirements to achieve peace and democracy in the region. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Many, many thanks, Mariam. Now I have the pleasure to give the floor to Honorable Fatma Zahra from Algeria.
معالي السيد الأمين العام لبرلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط، معالي السيدة رئيسة منتدى برلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط، زميلاتي زملائي النواب، السلام عليكم. بداية أريد أن أشيد
Peace be with you. I would like to congratulate the work carried out by the Portuguese delegation and thank His Excellency, its secretary. Thank you very much for your hospitality. Concerning this form, which has started with an idea and was applied to a reality, we hope that it will be fully applied. And also would like to thank Joana Lima from Portugal and other colleagues as well. Mariama. And also I'd like to thank you all for giving me the opportunity as vice president. And so we are committed, and it is an honor for us to say that I was elected and I will be representing women as best as possible. The participation in this forum is quite important to us in terms of collaboration and to provide a follow-up to solving problems. For many years now, countries of the Mediterranean started an increasing women's participation so we want as women to have more legislation, more laws that can protect women against violations and to have more rights. This forum is an important mechanism to fulfill these rights, and we would like to underline women's rights, and we will endeavor all efforts to have a stronger role in the decision-making process, as well as the legislation concerning Algerian women since freedom and its independence. There are different women have different positions, and it's because of the laws approved concerning the Algerian constitution. Our rights are improving since 2020, which stipulated women's protection and to give them the opportunity to be able to work in all different areas. And the Algerian women had achieved at the same time had been able to pursue important positions. That is, we have a general woman, and we have four ministers, female ministers, high-level parliamentarians with very important qualifications and skills. So we have women ambassadors, so women in very high positions. So I hope that this work, that the works of this forum will be very successful. Thank you.
Many, many thanks, Fatma. Now I have the pleasure to give the floor to Honorable Joanna Lima.
Distinguished and Vice President of APM, Miriam Tanaya. Distinguished Vice President of the Women Parliamentary Forum PAM, Fatmi Andi. His Excellency Sergio Piazzi, accompanying us at this closing session and honoring us by his work and dedication to PAM. Distinguished guests. Dear colleagues, I would like to thank the governmental leaders, the distinguished members of the panel, and I'd like to thank all of you for your participation and valuable contributions and expertise brought to this forum. Our meeting sets out our commitments to equality and women's empowerment. Our collective efforts to achieve a gender equality society in the Euro-Mediterranean and Gulf region are just the beginning. As we conclude today our debate and the inaugural session of the forum, I would like to highlight some of the key messages of our discussion. The arguments in favor of gender equality have never been more evident. Despite representing half of the world's population, women and girls continue to face inequalities and numerous challenges. In some societies, women and girls face discrimination and violence on a daily basis simply because they were born women. In times of displacement of large migratory populations and more contexts, as we know, this problem is getting worse, and we have the example of the war in Ukraine. For many years, persecution, conflict, violence, and human rights violations have fueled an increase in the number of people forcibly displaced or even refugees worldwide. Women and girls are more exposed to various forms of gender-based violence, both in their country of origin and during their journey to the country of destination or upon their arrival. The brutal Russian aggression against Ukraine and the thousands of women victims of mass murder, rape, and torture are just one example. To address this situation, due consideration should be given to their needs and circumstances, and gender-sensitive measures should be taken to prevent discrimination, violence, harassment, trafficking, and other forms of exploitation and abuse. In addition, measures should be taken to ensure that migrant women, refugee, and asylum seekers have access to their human and social rights in relation to individual freedom, employment, housing, health, education, protection, and social well-being, and access to information about their rights and the services they can use when they feel neglected. And now, let me greet the President of the Assemblée de République, Augusto Sanchibo, and I'd like to greet him on my behalf and on behalf of the Vice President Maria Tunaye and Fatima Abdi, and also on behalf of all other participants. Thank you very much, President of the Assemblée de République. At 8 p.m., we support the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, and even participated in its review last May in New York. We look forward to sharing good legislative practices that will result from this review. PM, gender inequality still persists in much of the world, including Europe and the Mediterranean region, where women and girls still lack basic human rights and face discrimination and gender-based violence. The parliaments of the world are no exception, as most parliaments continue to be dominated by men and women, and women parliamentaries are often underrepresented in decision-making bodies. The fight for women in politics continues, as the stigma against women in politics is still alive and well-lived. They continue to face structural, socioeconomic, institutional, and cultural barriers. Combating these barriers requires efforts from all elements of society, be it government, civil society, the private sector, youth, and indeed men. Gender equality is in the interest of both men and women. And therefore, as was shown during these two days of debate with men and women parliamentarians. In this context, it seems essential to make a strong and concrete commitment to education. Without inclusive education where gender equality is taught and practiced, our efforts may fall far short of what we want. Change is possible if there's an adequate political commitment and legal policy frameworks to provide a level playing field for both men and women. The work of our forum should focus on supporting women in parliament and increasing the number of women parliamentarians through the introduction of quotas and the transformation of parliaments into gender-sensitive institutions which safely comply with women's rights, especially in emergency situations such as COVID-19 or war. We must commit ourselves to concrete and resolute actions for women, girls, and a prosperous future in general. I am pleased and very honored to be part of the designated chair team of this Parliamentary Women's Forum with my vice presidents will work tirelessly to promote women's rights, empowerment, and to achieve gender equality. Although we have come to the end of this first session of the Parliament's Women's Forum of PAM, this is just the beginning. I'm counting on you all. I would also like to remind you that this parliamentary forum will focus on priority areas that are fundamental to women's equality and which unlock progress, such as women's leadership and political participation, economic empowerment, and violence against women at all levels, support the full and equal representation and participation of women in peace processes and security efforts, shaping governance and national planning through a gender equality perspective, encouraging youth and gender equality. Young leaders are critical drivers for accelerating progress in sustainable development and gender equality. Promoting disability inclusion and gender equality by establishing and strengthening partnerships and contributing to amplifying the voices of women and girls with disabilities. As a result of our debates over these last 2 days, I suggest that we study collectively and in depth the following issues for next year: the situation of women in refugee camps, among others, as referred by the Secretary of State, Isabel Rodrigues, accompanying priority gender activities, accessing top position in companies and in decision bodies. To accompany the work of international organizations and civil society once these are closer to citizens, promote inclusive and accessible plans, because education is essential, as was mentioned today by Mrs. Ribeiro. Educating towards equality is educating towards progress. As also was said, we will seek to encourage reproductive care. I'd like to speak about the basic law, the right to health protection, rights of all people to be able to enjoy such, presuming the development of economic, social, cultural, and environmental conditions that guarantee sufficient and healthy levels of balancing work and life. Different consultations, maternal child appointments free. Distinguished colleagues from different geographies representing countries and organizations that have made amazing progress. I know that the fight for equality is possible, and we believe, and we all believe, that it's possible. But I'm convinced that if we put our energies in empowering women and advancing gender equality, we will create a new and better future. I wish you all a safe journey back home, and I hope to see you at our next session, whose dates and location will be announced soon by our PAM Secretary General. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have been able to welcome you to Portugal. Thank you.
Distinguished delegate, we just heard the first presidency team of the Women Parliamentary Forum of our Assembly, which is an important step. And now, on behalf of all of you, I would like to welcome His Excellency Augusto Santos Silva, the President of the Assemblea da Repubblica, who hosted us in the beautiful city of Lisbon. Mr. President, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Caras e caros participantes.
First of all, I would like to greet for the decision of creating a forum of parliamentary women within the scope of the Mediterranean Parliament. And then I would like to greet Joana Lima for having been elected the president of this forum. Also, allow me to say how important it is for Portugal, the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean world. One of the best definitions known to myself of Portugal is due to a Portuguese history maker who has said the following: Portugal is the Atlantic facade of the Mediterranean world. And indeed, this is what we are from the European side. We are the Atlantic facade for the Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean for us is a natural place of good neighbors and influence. As a country, we have Spain as our neighbor, but on the other hand, on the other side of the Mediterranean, we'll also have neighbors in the north and in the north of Africa. We hold bilateral relations with all countries from Northern Africa. We do belong to the Union for the Mediterranean. We are also important players of the certain neighboring policy of the European Union. We are also part of the 5+5 dialogue, which provides the meeting between the five countries of the European Europe and the five countries of the North of Africa. We are also observers of the Arabic League. The Northern and Centers of the Europe is established in Lisbon, and we have both European countries and North African countries as part of them. And I could continue listing all these institutions, but allow me just underline how important the Mediterranean world is for Portugal, as well as the relationship with all Mediterranean countries. We also have a very clear idea on the priorities that should be included in our cooperation agenda for the Mediterranean: education, vocational training, and the employability of young girls and young boys. Issues connecting human mobility and the migration policy, regular migration, orderly and safe migration flows, sustainable development, and the necessary infrastructures for sustainable growth. Issues connecting the fighting against climate change, with the Mediterranean being one of the regions of the world that is most severely affected by climate changes, as well as issues connected to women empowerment and gender equality. Therefore, it is so important for us to have this new tool within the framework of our Parliament Assembly of the Mediterranean, which is the Women Parliamentary Forum. Not that we want to create yet another niche where parliamentary women speak of women's problems, but rather because we need the outlook, the perspective, the opinion of parliamentary women on all major topics of our cooperation agenda. And one of the main topics of this cooperation agenda is, of course, priority, gender equality, and empowerment of women. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Das bandeiras, isso. No, I can speak from here.
So dear colleagues, we will resume now. My deepest apologies to last speaker, Alicia Frade, and thank you for
gostaria.
And thank you all for your cooperation. So she will take the floor, and then we have the debate, and then we go to lunch. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Boa tarde a todos e a todas. Excelências, minhas senhoras.
Good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to greet Joana Lima, head of the Portuguese delegation, and Ambassador Sergio Piazzi to thank for the invitation addressed to participate at a very relevant moment, establishing priorities with the necessary budget and monitoring. Thanking also the inspiring interventions we heard throughout these 2 days, one of the advantages of being last is that I don't have to mention the figures repeated during these 2 days, but allow me to consider that this is a time for courage, determination, to assess years of policies, commitments, programs, campaigns, road maps and agendas on the plural realities which are more or less visible, that studies, reports, and evidence denounce, and that are part of everyone's daily life, the people that elected you. I'm speaking about mortality and morbidity associated to pregnancy and birth, pregnancy, adolescent pregnancy, and violence, death, and also the sexual abuse of children and young people, family violence, sexual exploitation, trafficking, unintentional pregnancy, and also unconsented sexual relations, and harmful practices such as female genital mutilation or forced arranged early child marriages, obstetric fistulas, food taboos, preference for boys, for rights which are very different, leadership of civil society, and for instance, different prizes for men and women athletes. That happened also in high competition. In addition to the fact that we cannot forget questions related to self-image and the necessary access to sexual education, comprehensive reproductive education, so that human rights and rights to development be achieved. Reality has been maintained, as mentioned by Monica Ferro. Girls and women residing in all countries are those more affected by the negative, harmful impacts of all crises, and that is why COVID-19 was not something new and enhanced what we had anticipated. Girls and women are not vulnerable. They're put in a vulnerability, in a situation of vulnerability, that is because of no actions taking place or transfer budgets to other areas of intervention. With COVID, the programs and projects with men and with girls and boys, including direct work, were canceled. Resources were transferred to the forefront in health, frequently forgetting the contents of reproductive sexual health, including the access to a safe contraception and treatment services, including retrovirals for HIV screening STDs. COVID has allowed many decision makers to understand that sometimes we live in a bubble that needs to be broken so that we can reach out to real people. To listen, know their stories, this makes a difference. The time that we call post-COVID is not yet. It's still present, not only because of the victims, but also because of the impact in the future present generations. In different geographic contexts, lockdown moments were accompanying, affecting in a disproportional way girls, young girls, women, especially in accessing meals in schools, accessing health services, highlighting sexual reproductive health care and social protection. What was worsened with schools closing and the access to IT platforms, training platforms, the illiteracy and literacy including digital, that also affects more, much more women, as we know. And the increase of situation of poverty, because many women develop their carry out their activity in informal economy, as in restaurants, services, frequently with less social protection. If most people in this room, if most of the people adapted to working online, this is not the reality for many of these young women and women in our countries, not because the online work is not possible as others, but cleaning, growing vegetable, fishing, and so on. In the in my association, counseling and following the situation was adapted to women's needs, especially migrant women at a risk of social exclusion. Space and schedules were changed since the bus stop, different schedules, so as for women to obtain clarification on legislation, use of contraception, how to use a cell phone or WhatsApp. It was, and it's necessary to support many of these women with a staple food, not forgetting pads or menstrual tampons. The work carried out by some countries in terms of forced marriages, rights of women to schooling, illiteracy of adult women, training of professionals, and traditional leaders, including religious ones, community association, were deeply affected, with effects which were foreseeable for those working in the field. So it was possible to extend the period of this project, but did not allow others to be able to shift some aspects. The effects of the pandemic in this case did not only affect the work on the ongoing work. For instance, it increased the number of forced marriages and PGM, and at the same time decreased the number that monitored pregnancy. This also increased mortality and morbidity, but also distancing themselves to health services, while professionals' availability also decreased. The transfer to research and COVID treatment only got worse, which was enhanced with the war situation. We know that the resources of countries have are limited, and for such, we need to guarantee the compliance of political budget commitments that were promised to millions of girls, young girls and women, both in terms of CW and the 2030 agenda, among others. Women that stayed at home had to make their work coincide with the employer by accompanying different chores. The situation got worse, and many women that were became unemployed did not recover their, did not get back their jobs. But also many of us, me, even with technical roles as well as parliamentary, found constant challenges. During almost 2 years, we did not have any possibility than being superwomen. We know this is just a cartoon. In terms of work-life balance, quite often, in small houses where children, young people study and play, and they were playing in the same space where their parents worked. It was a space for adult work, space of meals, and even a gym. The interruption of many activities for this population hasn't yet been recovered, and the present war situation has even delayed the transforming process that we promised in the United Nations and national problems. Not leaving anyone behind is a risk. We just have 8 years to conclude the agenda. for Sustainable Development, and the data are not very animating. In 2000, the migrations were not included at that time, were considered as a reflection of the weakness of development. Now, migrations are considered as a key factor. However, the migratory movements, including refugees, are exactly the opposite. And so for many girls and women, is a process of deep violence and abandonment. Young girls and women, such as different forms after being forgotten again, but it's just, let me repeat that just 8 years are still to go. We defend that sustainable economic growth is only possible when development focused in people is a landmark of development that does not forget the education of girls, equality between men and women, reduction of neonatal child mortality, universal access to services and reproductive health care, in particular family planning, sexual health, lesser investment in health, education and equality. It will be negative and fair, and will be negative for future generations. Being father or mother implies individual collective responsibility. So, as to be assumed, there has to be minimum requirements. It's not enough being pregnant and having children. Protecting and recognizing children as subjects of rights is basic in understanding this responsibility. Child marriages, early forced child marriages, arranged, for instance, giving your children to be married, to have less one child, or to sexual relations, unconsented sexual relations, or bodies used as war weapons. These civil societies, organizations, countries with high prevalence saw interrupted or canceled financing, and where FGM became and was a way of assuring a marriage before 18 years of age. Hosted in countries where the language, practices, or services and social organization are challenges to inclusion, in addition to the increase of populist movements and others, the recognition bodily autonomy and women's empowerment and the role of different civil society organizations, which are in our companies, are challenges that collectively require courage, action, financing, and state commitment. The challenge that this forum faces is gigantic, but I believe that the determination, leadership of Shwena Lima, Fatma Abdi, Maryam Majid, and their commitment and the commitment of their parliaments that integrate the Parliamentary Assembly of the Mediterranean will make the difference for girls and women. And again, thanking the interpreters, technical advisors.
Let's open space for all of us, girls and women, at the table where decisions took place. Let's be transformative. Let's be the present and the future. Obrigada.
Thank you so much, dear Alice Frade. Thank you for your very interesting communication. I think we end this panel with an excellent intervention. So now we will have seven people asking for the floor for the debate. I will ask you all to be brief and concise in order to not put our own stomachs in jeopardy. because we will have the luncheon afterwards. So 2 minutes each, I think it will be enough. I start by Honorable Yagoubi from Algeria. You can take the floor there, okay?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين معالي السيد برادو رئيس برلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط الشرفي ورئيس الجلسة معالي السيد الأمين العام لبرلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط
So may peace be with you, dear colleagues, members of the Parliament, ladies and gentlemen. Before anything else, allow me to thank the organizers of this forum of the Portuguese Republic and also address my acknowledgement to the minister. I would like to unite 2 points. One, the proximity of Algeria for the political jobs and the work carried out at the economy level. And then I would also refer to some pieces of legislation that Algeria has been enacting in order to obtain these goals. And then I would like to obtain your opinion. The government of Algeria has included the decisions against the laws that do not guarantee women's rights and also to fight against the conflict perpetrated against women through by receiving the claims put forward by women and also in opening the participation of women, giving them access to the economy, to labor market. We have also left this the field open in order to introduce any changes we may need. And within the framework of this of the convention, Algeria has also ratified a convention to change all those conventions which do not protect women's rights since 1996. And we have also legalized the rights of political women as well as the African Forum concerning with the Constitution of 2016. And since one part of the following up of these rights, a government has also increased and strengthened the collaboration to review some legislation in 2016. And as I said, in 2016, the law authorizing marriage has been fixed in fixed the age of 18, and then the nationality law, which allows foreigners to obtain a nationality. So in many countries, women will also avoid getting married to a foreigner citizen just because she has committed a crime. And on the other hand, well, this is all I had to say, and thank you very much. Então gostaria agora de dar a palavra à Sua Excelência, representante da Croácia. Em primeiro lugar, gostaria de estender os meus cumprimentos a todos os delegados e aos líderes desta conferência e quero também pedir desculpa pelo facto de estar um dia atrasada a este fórum devido à greve dos aeroportos. Por outro lado, quero agradecer ao Parlamento Português por realizar esta conferência num edifício tão fantástico. Quero também reconhecer a APM pelas suas intervenções. No meu próprio país, tenho feito parte de uma iniciativa, de iniciativas relacionadas com a questão de igualdade de género. Espero que a WPF possa tratar de assuntos que as mulheres enfrentam, tais como a participação igual em todos os níveis das estruturas económicas, sociais e políticas dos nossos países. Gostaria também de incentivar as mulheres a participarem na vida política, na medida em que são as mulheres as únicas que podem ajudar outras mulheres a atingir a paridade. Precisamos de mais mulheres na liderança, porque, como sabemos, as mulheres são muito mais ativas socialmente e, por isso, têm a tendência a criar sociedades mais justas. Precisamos também de agradecer participação igual em todos os organismos de participação, especialmente no que diz respeito às posições de gestão, não só no setor público, como também nas empresas privadas, cortando então a discriminação no mundo do trabalho. Existem outras questões muito práticas, tais como a pobreza menstrual, inclusivamente o orçamento que pode ser alocado aos negócios das mulheres. Hoje a pandemia da Covid exerceu um impacto muito negativo no que diz respeito aos direitos humanos, especialmente aos direitos das mulheres. O secretário-geral das Nações Unidas disse que a Covid, na verdade, acabou por invadir o espaço das mulheres. Mas, por outro lado, o trabalho não assalariado, que era basicamente conduzido por mulheres, cresceu exponencialmente. O desemprego das mulheres também está a aumentar. Tudo isto foi reconhecido pela União Europeia e foi por isso que se assistiu aos planos da resiliência nacional para incluírem medidas relacionadas com o género. E por isso gostaria de recomendar o meu trabalho, ou seja, um projeto que tem que ver com uma ferramenta que a APM acabou por receber por parte dos seus governos. Gostaria também de reconhecer o papel prestado pela Procuradora da Croácia, que tem vindo a trabalhar de forma incansável a ajudar as mulheres a atingirem novas formas de igualdade. Nós viemos de vários estratos da vida, mas em nenhum deles podemos considerar que as mulheres são desiguais. Mas, de acordo com o último índice de igualdade de género, os países que estão no topo desta lista não incluem os países mediterrâneos. Por isso, nós temos de avançar e mostrar que somos capazes de liderar esta questão. Muito obrigada. É, sem dúvida, um desafio muito importante que todos nós encaramos. Gostaria agora de dar a palavra a Marrocos, senhora Ilham Saki.
رئيس برلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط السيد الأمين العام للجمعية البرلمانية البحر الأبيض المتوسط السيدة رئيسة الوفد البرتغالي في الجمعية البرلمانية ورئيسة منتدى النساء البرلمانيات لدى برلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط السيدات والسادة البرلمانيون السيدات والسادة الحضور الكريم في بادئ الأمر أريد أن أشكركم على حسن الاستقبال وحسن التنظيم بمناسبة أشغال الجلسة الافتتاحية للمنتدى البرلماني للمرأة التابع للبرلمان البحر الأبيض المتوسط وأشكر جمهورية البرتغال الصديقة لاحتضانها لهذا اللقاء. حضرات السيدات والسادة، للمرأة دور مهم في
I'd like to thank Portugal for its hospitality and to say that this was quite an important forum concerning women's rights. And also I'd like to speak about the next session with about different sector. Women has quite an important role. And these factors are very important to be able to understand that Morocco had already achieved a very advanced factor concerning justice and rights between genders. So this issue was very important for the government, and a specific law was approved. And the Constitution has contributed quite a lot in that sense for women's rights. And recently, women have fulfilled their rights. Different laws were passed on the family. And at different levels, and women can work in different areas, and also laws on marriages with children. We have a lot of women in Parliament in Morocco, a lot of women. A lot of effort was made for women to achieve on these political positions, and there's a law, and laws are very, and these laws are very important for women to work in high positions. And also we have important organization and strategies to fight these different, to fight what we face at that level. And the law always, the law condemns and new mechanisms were also created, regional and both regional and international, so as to fight any violation against women, for instance, law enforcement hospital. And Morocco is making it, is carrying out different effort, its endeavor efforts, so that women can work in different areas. And also, in 2006, a new law was approved, giving an estimation, a positive estimation, at the time of COVID, after 2 years of COVID, we see that there's been an increase of violations, and that it's very difficult for women to go back to work and to study, as this was also shown by the recent data mentioned by the speaker from the United, mentioned by the speaker, the United Nations speaker. Thank you.
We have here a little problem because we had a lot of interventions. When we have less than 7 minutes until we must end because of the interpreters. So I will proceed with the inscriptions by order, and then we have to finish at some point. At some point it is 1:30. So now I will give the floor to Honorable Zakharidis from Greece.
Dear colleagues, because all of us are tired, I want to be short. I only want to say that equality still remains a challenge. Progress. We are just at the beginning. There is still a long way to go. We especially, as legislators, need to step up the effort. We need to facilitate equal access to work for women and men, as the gender equality in the labor market is a necessary condition for ensuring high growth rates in a long-term basis. We must try everything to remove the barriers that prevent women from participating and remaining in a workplace. However, the legal framework is not enough. The existing laws need to be implemented in real life. We must combat the sexist stereotypes that have caught up women in specific social roles, remove all those obstacles that women face, and empower them. Sexism and gender hate speech have no place in our society. Thank you for your attention. I would like to thank you very much once again for your generous hospitality to your beautiful city.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Zakharidis, and especially for being brief. Now I will pass the floor for Honorable Katia De Giovanni from Malta. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, the Portuguese, for your kind hospitality as well. It was a very warm welcome. So for the situation we have been discussing at the WPF, which I will not repeat, the Maltese government is currently actively seeking to legislate with the intention to create change with a clear message. One of the examples of this was the recent change in the Maltese electoral law. In the previous legislature, constitutional amendments introduced a gender corrective mechanism addressing the underrepresentation of women in parliament. The application of the law was carried out for the first time following general elections on the 26th of March of this year. Due to this corrective mechanism, 12 female MPs were added, 6 for the government and another 6 for the opposition, bringing a total of 22 female MPs out of 79. This has increased the percentage of women from 15 to 28. Admittedly, we have still a low number of female MPs, but with a better educational campaign and with political parties potentially fielding more female candidates, there should be an improvement. The aim is to show the younger generation in particular that being female and being in politics is therefore legitimate and possible. The public then needs to identify with women politicians. Another example was the introduction of femicide in the Maltese Criminal Code. On the 20th of June, our parliament unanimously approved a bill which includes femicide in the criminal code. The bill lays out circumstances when a homicide or the attempted offence was carried out purely because the victim is female. These new femicidal circumstances will be used to limit the judiciary's discretion when it comes to sentencing the perpetrators of the crime. The third example I would like to mention is that of free childcare. Free childcare in Malta was introduced on the 1st of April 2014. It is available to all parents in paid work, and Malta has seen some encouraging results when it comes to employment and reducing the gender pay gap since the introduction of such a scheme. During a span of 9 years, 2010-2019, female employment has increased by 52%. It is thanks to these schemes, such as the free childcare scheme and others, such as the youth guarantee, the work program training schemes, and many others, that Malta saw a labour market activation and re-entry of women in employment. Such was also the in-work benefit scheme, where perhaps the main beneficiaries are in fact women who could not work because they were raising single children single-handedly. This benefit encourages these women to remain in employment as their social assistance is tapered and not struck off as soon as they find employment. Another recent change was carried out in the educational
Mrs.
system.
Mrs. Giovanni, I ask you for your...
Okay, I will close very soon. I would like to thank you, Pam, for organizing this conference, putting gender equality very high on the agenda. This also sends a clear message in that the countries in the Mediterranean region cannot move forward without legislating in such a way as to have women taking decisions in opportune moments. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We have only 2 minutes left. I will now pass the floor to my colleague from Portugal, Emilio Cerqueira. Just a few words. Thank you so much.
Obrigada. Aproveito para agradecer a todo o painel na pessoa do seu presidente, agradecer a todos os colegas pelo trabalho profícuo que tivemos nestes 2 dias. Isto que me estou em casa toma a liberdade de falar em português e serei muito, muito rápida como imperativo neste momento. Quando tratamos das questões de igualdade de género, tão importante que a pandemia e agora também a guerra ainda vieram colocar mais a nu, é importante que estejamos alerta, especialmente para a questão do empoderamento das mulheres, que é uma das questões que neste momento mais urge e é mais importante que coloquemos como uma das prioridades, não só em fóruns das mulheres, mas sim naqueles que são os momentos de decisão efetivos. Todos os estudos nos vêm dizer que a pandemia veio agravar e acentuar as desigualdades, não só na Europa, mas em todo o mundo, sendo que, infelizmente, estamos numa fase de retrocesso, se não houver aqui uma mudança radical de atitude, fazendo com que a igualdade efetiva tenha uma redução drástica no tempo em que precisaremos para atingir, sendo que a nível mundial se calcula que precisaremos de 135 anos. É fundamental, por isso, que haja aqui um acelerador social muito rápido, nomeadamente através de legislação que torne obrigatória a participação das mulheres, por forma a que esta igualdade e esta desigualdade que nós vamos conhecendo com cada vez mais intensidade não se manifeste. Temos de ter para isso políticas a pensar no género feminino, nomeadamente no acesso à escola, à educação, aos lugares de decisão, mas também é fundamental, em momentos de guerra e de crises, fazer aquilo e cumprir aqueles que são os grandes princípios da Convenção de Istambul, nomeadamente a questão de combate ao casamento forçado, ao aborto forçado, à esterilização forçada, aos casamentos de menor, aos tráficos de seres humanos, todos os direitos das mulheres que veio considerar, e esta é a nota com que eu quero encerrar, que veio considerar, em 2011, celebrado aliás em Istambul, que a violência de género contra a violência de género e violência doméstica é violação de um direito fundamental. E é com esta nota do grande caminho que temos de fazer no combate a todas estas desigualdades e dar-vos as boas-vindas e agradecer aquilo que foi a participação nestes trabalhos tramíficos destes dois dias. Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente.
Thank you so much, Emilia. My apologies to all those who cannot take the floor because of our limitations. And I've invited them all persons to who didn't have the opportunity to speak, to send their interventions, writing interventions, to the PAM Secretariat in order to be published in the report of this meeting. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you all at the luncheon afterwards. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pedro. Thank you very much. As the Secretary General, I wish to thank all of you for being here. We have 1 second before we lose the interpretation, and I wish to thank the interpreter for their work, for Honorable Aisha, Senator Elias, and the others who had no opportunity to take the floor. Please send your input to us, are very, very important as the one of Croatia on the gender index. We need to work on that and incorporate in our work. I would like to congratulate, on behalf of the Secretariat, the first presidency team. You will get all our support from the Secretariat, and the one I wish to congratulate you on behalf of the Assembly. I wish also to thank Jordan and Italy for having already contacted the Secretariat, expressing their interest to host one of the next events connected to the forum. And I will be in contact with them. And finally, as a part of this term of reference, the networking which was established, I wish to thank all those speakers who contributed to the event. As a Secretariat, we will get in touch with them to establish a permanent, a structured cooperation, and as necessary also to sign MOUs like with you, with the UNFPA and the other colleagues at European Parliament and so on. Thank you, Pedro. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Portugal.
Thank you, everyone. The interpreters thank all participants, and again, apologize, but I couldn't go any longer.